Before we get in the program, it's time for this week's joke of the week. My neighbor takes a really long time to cut his grass. It's like he's in slow-mo.
Artie har har. So this week's garden joke is brought to you by Rescue.com. American-made rescue use products to keep your family, home, and garden protected from pests, insects like wasps, hornets, yellow jackets, fire ants, and more. Learn more at Rescue.com. That's RescuE.com.
You not find it funny? Slow-mo.
No.
No?
I was not. It was
a swing and a miss?
Mediocre joke at best.
Swing and a miss?
Swing and a miss.
All right. Well, and it's this time of year where some are in the garden. Many are still anticipating the time to get in the garden. So we're going to go over in segment one and segment two here, first half of the show, 10 suggestions that we would make to you in order to get your garden to grow better than it's ever grown before. Because we all can learn things from each other. We're not just sitting up here on some high throne going, we're the Garden Talk radio host and we know everything. We don't. We don't know everything, and you teach us as well as we teach you. So we're going to go over these. One is covering your carrots at the time of planting.
I was just going to say this is your little favorite tip.
Well, it's very successful. By covering, carrot seeds are extremely tiny. They need a very light dusting of soil on top of them in order to germinate. The problem being that soil dries out very rapidly and the soil seed contact is diminished because there's no moisture there for the seed to germinate with. So plant your seeds in a row or broadcast them in a little area, two or three square feet. Take cardboard and cover them and secure that cardboard down. Okay, let's back up a minute. If you're doing it in rows, you can use 2x4, 2x8, something solid to cover the row. You're going to plant your seed. You're going to dust it with soil. You're going to water it and then cover it. Covering that with that cardboard or the 2x8 or whatever you have and securing it down so it doesn't become a projectile in a strong wind and take the neighbor's window out, it is holding the moisture in the soil, which is holding moisture next to the seed, which allows the seed to germinate. By doing this, you're going to increase your germination rate by about 80%. And then you can go in and thin out, if necessary, those seeds that have kind of all kind of grew together. But this works very, very well in the – and this works well for carrots, parsnips, also works well for that to hold that moisture in. The very small seeds. Now, I wouldn't do this with radishes or anything like that, spinach or lettuce, because those are very, very quick-growing germinational seeds. Carrots can take somewhere up to 14, 21 days in non-peak conditions.
Right. So the next one we have is top your Brussels sprouts. You might think, what on earth does that mean? It basically means once your Brussels sprouts start to form the little heads, you can first see them start to form. Then what you're going to do is you're going to cut the top of the plant off, the plant that is flowering.
Top six inches. Growth tip. That's what's going to essentially stress the plant out and stop vertical growth and focus energy on the development of the sprouts. And again, you've said this, Holly, before. If you've never had homegrown Brussels sprouts, that's why you hate Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that a lot of people were forced to eat Brussels sprouts at some point in their life by either a well-meaning parent and or grandparent or who knows. And if you've never had homegrown ones that have been cooked properly, prepared properly, then you are missing out.
Grow cilantro indoors, Holly.
You can grow it indoors.
We've tried to grow it. Many people have tried to grow it outside, but it bolts very quickly or goes to seed very quickly.
I was
trying to set you up there, but I'll take the walk-off home run there. So what we have done is we take party cups, or you can do this in little planter cups or planter terracotta pots, and start them in succession. You'll start one pot cilantro this week, wait a week and a half, start another pot. What is going to do, and you put on your windowsill, this allows the plant to germinate and grow 4, 5, 6 inches tall. You're going to cut it back and use it for whatever you need it for. and then you'll probably get about another cutting off of that, and then that pot is done. That's why you have another one started a week and a half later and another one started a week and a half after that. So you always have a succession of cilantro, and you can grow it year-round no matter where you live in the world. You don't have to worry about it going to seed or bolting.
Right. That's exactly what you want to do. So then cornmeal for early blight. This is tomatoes. For tomatoes. And what you do is at the time of planting, after you have the tomato planted, but before you mulch, you take a handful of whole grain.
I saw a post on one of our social media platforms today, and it was like Gardeners Are Us, whatever, and it said, you got to listen to Kramer. It's a little picture of him saying, you got to mulch. You got to mulch.
So before you mulch, let me get through this so I don't confuse our people. Before you mulch, what you do, and once you have the tomato planted, you take a handful of whole grain cornmeal. So you want to make sure it's not the processed stuff, but it's the whole grain.
Yellow,
whole grain cornmeal, and you put it around the base of each plant. And then you do this about mid-season again as well, like you kind of scrape the mulch back, put the cornmeal, put the mulch back. So you do this before you mulch, and this is going to, it has a beneficial fungi in it called trichoderma, and this will help combat that early blight, and it makes a huge difference.
Early blight's in everybody's soil. It doesn't matter what you do. Unless you're growing in a soilless mix, you're going to have early blight in the soil. And this makes a tremendous difference, like Holly said. We learned this from a master gardener, Garden Talk host out of the Texas area, Bob Webster, about going on 10 years now. And since we've done that, we've had bright green, luscious tomatoes all the way up to the time of frost. Prior to that, like many of you, we would have the tomatoes grow, and it's great. They look good, and progressively through the season, they start dying off, and by the end of the season, you have a skeleton of a plant with some fruit hanging off of it. And the next one is grow your what you can vertically. Your beans, your cucumbers, your small squashes. Grow them vertically.
So this is something that Joey had to kind of learn once we started doing more urban gardening, because he grew up on a farm.
And the only thing we trellised was peas.
Yeah. You guys didn't cage tomatoes?
We caged tomatoes, but wasn't really considered a trellis.
Yeah, that's true.
And we some pole beans, but the, you know, cucumbers sprawled, watermelons sprawled. It just, we had the space.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, this is something that Joey had learned, is that you have to trellis stuff if you don't, that you have a lot of space for things that vine when you grow up versus out, especially if you are tight on space, whether it be in an urban garden, wherever you are, maybe it's just even like a porch, patio, or deck, you have this ability to trellis, and that's going to, A, make it, save you room, but B, you're also going to be able to see the vegetables easier, and then also, a lot of times, it keeps them from disease and pests and problems.
Well, and you can physically see up underneath, you know, if you've got let's say a bean rust problem or an infestation of something under the leaves, and they're not on the ground. Like you said, you can physically, oh, look, we got a problem. We got to address this in whatever safe means you feel necessary in order to eradicate or alter that situation.
And for things like cucumbers, it's kind of amazing to me about how easy it is to see the cucumbers when you're picking them, when they're right in front of your face versus if they're on the ground just kind of floating around.
Because many of us have experienced that sprawling of the cucumbers on the ground, and we pick them and we pick them and we think we got everything, and then we come out next week and there's a cucumber the size of, you know, a 40-pound bag of feed, or, you know, 10 football, they're a humongous cucumber that is nowhere close to being consumptionable. And it's become so bitter that it's actually gone to seed. And anytime a vegetable begins to go to seed, like a cucumber or a zucchini, it begins to shut the plant down. Or green beans, if left on the plant long enough, they decrease, the plant begins to shut down because it's in the reproductive state, not the put fruit on state.
That's the scientific term. Put fruit on state.
Put on fruit on state, yeah. Something like, yeah.
All right, so speaking of, you know, knowing where your food comes from, Walton's has everything you need for all things but the meat. So they have the equipment, seasoning, supplies to make sausage, turkey, and any other meat product your way to your high standards. MeatGistics.com is there to help educate the people on the hows and whys of the meat processing, as well as a community of almost 15,000 users who help give their opinion and guidance on meat processing issues. At Waltons.com, you can get anything to help with the meats. They have meat grinders, sausage stuffers, mixers, and more.
Seasonings, if you're not, not into the butchering aspect.
To help you go from animal to edible, Walton's everything but the meat. If you use code GROW50, that's GROW50, you can save 10% off of your order of $50 or more. And that's at waltonsinc.com.